1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions or quarrels among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, Paul begins his letter to the Corinthians in much the same fashion in which he begins many of his letters. And, you know, he said to these same Corinthians that he was not mighty in speech when he was among them. In fact, he said he was weak, and they considered that he was not that great of a preacher or an orator when he was with them, but they said his letters are powerful. So he was given the gift of writing powerful letters, but we know also by what he said, it's not the words that he spoke when he was with them, but the power that came with it. Because one thing that is a true thing, and that is that the power of God in the Word of God cannot be resisted by the people of God. Now, the men of the world out there, the Word of God can roll off of their back like a duck. It just has no effect on them. I mean, you know, there's plenty of preachers, they try to scare folks, and they try to threaten folks, and they try to do all sorts of things. But it really is to no avail. You might scare a man into making some sort of a decision in the flesh. You might get him to agree with you for a while. But after a while, when he's away from you, all that stuff will wear off. But you see, when the Lord causes the Word of God to take root in a man's soul, then that becomes a precious thing to him. And he may even try to ignore it. See, the world, they don't try to ignore the Word of God. They just have no concern for it. Oftentimes, God's people, because of the flesh, it's still we still dwell in and dwells in us, we might try to ignore the Word of God. But you can't ignore the Word of God if the Spirit of God is in you. Because He'll bring it to your mind. Now you might think you're getting by and you're going down the road and you're not thinking about it that much, but the Lord, when His time's right, He'll bring it to your mind. He'll make you aware of what the truth is. And the other thing is, He'll make you know that it's the truth. Now you see, the men of the world, they dispute whether or not the Word of God's true. I mean, how are you going to prove to a man that the Bible's true? Now, there's plenty of books been written on that, how to prove that the Bible's true. Well, you can't prove the Bible's true to a man that doesn't believe it. It's impossible. How does a man get to the place where he believes that the Bible's the Word of God? There's only one answer. It's because of the mercy of God. It's because of the grace of God that opens the mind and the heart to receive it. And so it is that Paul comes, and he's preaching and teaching to these Corinthians the Word of God. Paul called to be an apostle through the will of God. Now let me ask you something this. Can something occur in the world that is not according to the will of God? No, how could it? Now, there's plenty of things I can't understand, and I wouldn't sit up here today and try to explain to you how all those things are. But I know this, that the God of this Bible, He says that He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? So Paul says, I'm an apostle, not according to my will. Paul wasn't willing to be an apostle, was he? I mean, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the people of God. He was going down to Damascus with letters in his hand to have some of them killed. He wasn't an apostle by the will of Paul. He was an apostle by the will of God. And dear brethren, when God's willing for something to occur, I guarantee you one thing, it will happen. I mean, that's going to occur. It's going to be according to the will of God. And then he says, Sosthenes, our brother, is with us. Now, you know, the love of the brethren is that which is wrought again by the Spirit of God. I mean, you can't love the people of God by yourself. I mean, it's not amazing to me when I'm out here in the world that the world doesn't want to be around the people of God. I mean, because that's kind of rubs them the wrong way. I mean, we have opinions about things that they don't share. And so consequently, we're at odds with them. But when the Lord is pleased to give brethren a love for one another, then they love fellowship one with the other. That's just the way that it is. And so Paul mentions Sosthenes, his brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, you know, some have taken that name, the church of God, and painted it on a sign. But you can't become the church of God by painting it on a sign. I mean, you can call yourself anything you want to, but that's not going to make it so. I mean, we can call ourselves whatever we want to be, but it's not necessarily true. It's like that song we sang there a moment ago. Let us ask the important question, brethren, be not too secure, what it is to be a Christian. Now, that is the place where we ought to be seeking to find, not taking comfort in what we claim to be, but desiring that we might find that which the Lord has made to occur unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. And that is really how churches ought to be named. I mean, we're the church at Grace Chapel. We're not Grace Chapel Church or whatever. We're the church of God at Grace Chapel, if indeed we be the followers of Christ. Now, we can call ourselves that, but that doesn't make it so, does it? Only the grace of God can make it so. The church of God, which is at Corinth, that is, and he's speaking about a local church. He's speaking about the fact that the Lord has a people which he calls his church, and they are scattered abroad upon the earth. And they meet at various locations according to his purpose. The church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, when I was growing up, I remember there was some folks they used to talk about they was going to get sanctified. And you still hear that from time to time. Somebody, they claim, well, I believed in Christ, but now I'm going to go get sanctified. Well, dear brethren, the only sanctification that we have is that which is ours in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. We're sanctified by Christ. And the word sanctified simply means to be set apart. A peculiar people. A people who are unlike the rest of the world. Unto the church of God, which is according to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about a particular group that's within the church at Corinth, but he's talking about the church at Corinth, those people who were set apart by Jesus Christ according to his purpose, called to be saints. Now, we read that passage every now and then in Romans 8:28, I believe it is. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Now, sometimes people leave out the thee. That's a bad mistake because the thee is there. It is a specific people that the Lord causes all things to work together for their good. It is the church of God, whether it's at Corinth or whether it's at Brantford or whether it's in Nigeria or whether it's at Live Oak or whether it's O'Brien. It doesn't matter. The Lord has a people that he has set apart. He has sanctified them. He has loved them with an everlasting love. And they belong to him. And they have been called to be saints. Now, we believe, as the Scripture would indicate, that the Lord has loved his people from before the foundation of the world. But they've not always been called to be saints, have they? Because you see, a calling is something that you hear. When your mama called you for supper, you could hear. That was a calling, was it not? I mean, when you were out in the yard playing, you didn't run in the house for supper. Because you wasn't thinking about supper. But when your mother said, supper's ready, then she called you, and you came. If you knew what was good for you, you did. And so when she called, you came. And so it is that the people of God, it says right here, they're called to be saints. And that is, there is a calling out of those whom the Lord has loved from before the foundation of the world. It is a work of God. And He is that one who calls men. Now, how can I explain how that occurs? Not exactly. I mean, talking to this brother from Russia, or he's actually from Venezuela originally, but you know, the Lord called him without anybody being around. I mean, he just became so depressed, and he began to read the Word of God. Now, who caused him to read the Word of God? I mean, why did he do that? Why didn't he read somebody's book, or why did he read that book? Now, some would say, well, he just decided to do it. Well, he did decide to do it. I can't argue with that. He did decide to do it. He saw the book and he picked it up and he started to read it. But why did he do that? He did that because of the grace of God that put him in the right place at the right time and the right book in his hands. And he caused him to read it. Now, there's a multitude of people that have read the Bible over and over again but don't know what it is. But he, in his time, is able to call his people through that book. Now, why did he believe it? Because of the grace of God. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. Now see what he says here? He says, you here at Corinth who are called to be saints, and the same calling. Same one. See, the Lord doesn't call some people to be one kind of a Christian and some people to be called to be another kind. There's only one kind. Those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart and called. And it is because they're set apart that they are called. There's no other kind of calling. There's no other people that are called except those whom the Lord our God shall call, even as Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said, the promise is unto you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's what he's speaking about here, that they're called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are called by the Lord. There's a twofold calling taking place here. He says we're called to be saints, but he said we are calling upon the Lord. Now, the evidence that a man is called by the Lord is that he will call upon the Lord. Isn't that amazing how that works? I mean, a man won't call upon the Lord until the Lord has called him. Now, you can get a man to sign a paper. You can get him to fill out a certificate. You can do all kinds of things. And he can go through the motions and he can say some things. But until a man is brokenhearted by the Spirit of God, teaching him what he is by nature and who Christ is, he will not call upon the name of the Lord. Now, if you know you've got a certain kind of a disease, you're not going to come calling on me. You're not going to come down to Brantford Park City and say, look, I've got cancer and I need for you to help me. Are you? Because you know there's nothing in the store there that's going to help you with that. No, you're going to call on somebody that you think might help you. You're going to go to a doctor that's trained in that sort of thing and you're going to call on him. And so it is with this, in the same fashion, that when a man is made aware of what he is by nature and who the solution to his problem is, he's going to begin to call on him. Now, he doesn't necessarily know what the solution to his problem is. But somehow or other, the Spirit of God will teach a man who it is that he's called upon, and he will begin to call upon the Lord. But keep this in mind, that he doesn't begin that process until the Lord has called him. And so when the Lord calls him, then in every place they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, all of the people of God, who are the people of God, who are the called according to His purpose, are all calling upon the same Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is calling upon the Lord. Because the Lord plainly said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, who are they that do the will of the Father which is in heaven, but those who are called by Him who call upon Him? And so the Lord will not forsake those that call upon Him. But because a man says that he calls upon Him doesn't mean that he does. But it is the work of the Spirit of God in a man to cause him to call. And so that's what he's saying there. Every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. He stood before His disciples, and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, there was an uproar the other day. I saw a headline in somebody had really taken issue with this fella had put on a church somewhere out on the marquee that there's only one God and His name is not Allah. And some people got all upset. Oh no, we're all calling on the same God. Dear brethren, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now they can call on, you can call on any name you want to call on. But those who are the called according to God's purpose are those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He says right here. They're called and they call. Not just our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now one of my pet peeves is when people say the term, y'all forgive me, my Jesus. Now, I don't know why that rankles me so bad, but I hate to hear that. So if you're in the habit of saying that, please don't say it around me. Okay? Because He's not your Jesus. Okay? He's not my Jesus. He's the eternal God. He's that one who is Himself. He is our Lord. If you want to say my Lord, I don't have any problem with that. My master, my king. But you see, that term is often used like he's just got like this little special, I got a little special insight with him. Well, Paul says, listen, all of those who call upon the name of the Lord call upon the same one. He's ours. He is that one who has given Himself for us, and we call upon Him, but He's not ours. Both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.